You're listening to the RightStream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Thanks for listening to the RightStream Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everyone. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, season's greetings. It's that time of year, so I'm trying to cover all bases here and just wishing you a very happy holiday season. I know this is a very hectic time, so we appreciate you listening today. My name is Daria Ann. I am the host of RightStream Tuesday and also the founder of the RightStream Radio Network, which you can find, discover more about at our website, rightstreamradio.com. We are currently broadcasting five shows a week with the goal of making that seven shows a week in early 2015, and we're very close to making that happen, and I'm very excited about it. So you can check out our lineup, as I said, at rightstreamradio.com. We have Just Believe with Lisa Tarvez every Sunday, Military Monday with John D. Gresham every Monday, RightStream Tuesday with Daria Ann every Tuesday. Thursday nights we have our women's lifestyle show called Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, co-hosted by Lisa Tarvez and me. And then on Fridays we have the Speculative Fiction Cantina with S. Evan Townsend, who himself is a best-selling author, and that show covers a full spectrum of everything that falls under speculative fiction, from paranormal to sci-fi to fantasy to horror. Evan's pretty much got that covered, and I so appreciate that because those tend to be, you know, not my favorite kind of books, although I do interview those authors here on this show from time to time. Before I go any further, I want to give a shout-out to our friends at Big Dog Music Radio. That's Big Dog, D-A-W-G, musicradio.com, because they rebroadcast all of our RightStream shows on their fabulous network, and it affords all of us here access to an even greater audience. So we're very appreciative to all of our friends at Big Dog Music Radio. And speaking of gratitude, I just want to also publicly thank them privately, but I just want to give a public shout out to all of my friends, including those in the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance, who generously donated to our RightStream GoFundMe campaign. I was telling my guest, Marina, who I'm going to bring on here in just a moment, before we went on the air, that we're really trying to possibly get to the next level of Blog Talk Radio membership so that we can maybe not have to deal with these annoying ads and have a few more great features like an 800 number for people to call in and all kinds of good stuff. But that costs a lot of money, and right now we're spending $400 a year for the membership we currently have. So I just want to mention on the air how much I very much appreciate all those who have donated. And I've thanked them personally because that's kind of my style. I think it's a little tacky to, you know, thank everyone publicly by name. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But anyway, thank you guys. Thank you all. Check out GoFundMe.com/RightStream for more information on that. So I think that's all of my housekeeping notes for today. Well, I will mention one other thing. Next Tuesday, RightStream Tuesday, will be a replay of our recent show, The Best Books of 2014, which was co-hosted by the mysterious and alluring Ms. Always Right. And it was a lot of fun, and I'm actually hoping I get to co-host with her a lot more in 2015, although Ms. Always Right is one-third of The Right Wing Riot, which airs in the second hour of RightStream Tuesday with the Prince of White Bread, Scary Smart, and Ms. Always Right. They call themselves public service satire, and they do an outstanding job. Unfortunately, the prince once again has to work this week, so there will not be a riot, and we'll be going off air today around 2 o'clock. But please check them out, all of their good stuff, at rightwingriot.com. And I say that very slowly on purpose because I don't want to lisp on the air. So rightwingriot.com, where you can also discover the excellent comic strip, Truesberry. And you know, that's what today is, Truesday. All right, guys, well, I am very excited about today because we are celebrating a wonderful anniversary today, the first anniversary of the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance on Facebook. And it was co-founded by Marina Fontaine and Kia Hebe, one of whom is with me today, Marina. I just want to say before I go ahead and bring her on the air, I was added to this group just over a year ago by the fabulous Jamie K. Wilson, And I am forever in her debt for introducing me to this group, because not only have I learned from other writers and sort of had a place where I can kind of toss around politics with like-minded individuals, it's also been a wealth of guests for my show, and it's made it very easy for me to book people. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, because I don't think people realize how much time and energy goes into producing these shows. But without further ado, I want to welcome my good friend Marina Fontaine, who I call an American by choice. So that makes her even more special to me, and we're going to get into that a little bit on the air. But without further ado, Marina Fontaine, welcome to Write Stream Tuesday.
Hi, Daria.
Hey, it's great to have you here.
Thanks.
Well, okay. Marina, I want to start out, because I want to give you, I know so many listeners probably already know you, but I want to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about your own background, because I think that's such an important component as to the existence of the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in the former Soviet Union. I came to this country when I was 19, which means that basically my formative years were in the Soviet Union. And as you said, I am an American by choice. I am eternally grateful to my parents for bringing me here, and for Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher for creating the international political environment in which we could, in fact, leave the Soviet Union and come here. So that definitely informed my politics from the beginning. And also being brought up in the Soviet Union and studying Marxism and Marxist cultural theory, I understand the importance of how culture and politics, they are not that far apart, because culture affects politics, it affects people, and it is everywhere. And that's why as soon as my English got up to par, I started reading and I started getting involved online when the time came, because I just can't overstate as to how important it is, more important than elections, more important than anything, because it affects every aspect of our lives.
So true. The late, great Andrew Breitbart called that when he said culture is upstream from politics, and it is absolutely true, which is another reason why I'm delighted to be a part of this group. And I was so thrilled when Jamie added me around this time last year, or let's say December 10th, 2013, to be exact. So, Marina, you became a voracious reader, you learned English, and then I know you're very much involved in Goodreads and creating readers groups. So tell us a little bit about that and how that eventually led to the CLFA.
I basically started by just joining various readers' forums. I'm a big Dean Koontz fan, Terry Goodkind fan, and I just found just being around these forums that any time a conservative starts saying something, they get attacked, and there's a lot of bias from the moderators, because there is just a lot of liberals in that part of the culture. There's a lot of liberals on the internet. So I decided, why not create just a group where a bunch of us like-minded people can talk about books in a safe environment and occasionally talk politics. So that's how I came up with the Goodreads group. I call the Small Government Book Fan Club. And from there, I met actually Kia and Jamie. I don't remember in what order. And then we just started thinking about making it a little bit bigger and taking it on Facebook, because there is just so much more possibility for growth with Facebook rather than this kind of limited website of Goodreads. So that's how the idea of CLFA came up. We thought about the name for a while that would appeal to both conservatives and libertarians. So we just put both in the name. And we called it an alliance, because the concept is very important to us, to get the conservatives and the libertarians. No matter what our differences, we have so much in common that we really should work together on things where we agree on. And one thing we agree on is that we need more stories that support our values. And that's basically where we started. We started with a core group that mostly we picked from Jamie Wilson's conservative fiction group and a few people from Goodreads, and then it just started going from there.
Fantastic. And it's so important, the whole concept of an alliance between conservatives and libertarians, because you're right, I think we have a lot more in common than not. And I personally feel if we just followed the Constitution, that a lot of those issues we disagree on, if they just went back to the states, I think we could agree on that, like allowing the people to decide and kind of abiding by the Constitution on some of those, you know, touchy emotional type of issues. And that leads me to my other point, the point that I want to make today, Marina. And one of the other things I love about this group is that, unlike what we see on the left, where it seems to be groupthink all the time and you toe that groupthink line, otherwise you're sort of ostracized, at least in our group, things do get heated. But for the most part, people kind of keep it respectful, and most of us are coming from a place in this group where we may not agree with the other person's point of view, but we at least understand where they're coming from, or at least seek to understand where they're coming from. And we also understand that they're still an American patriot. Would you agree with that?
Yes, definitely. And that's why my mantra has been give each other benefit of the doubt. And when you think of saying, putting something in a harsh way, check yourself, because we are on the same side. And we are all, in a way, especially those of us who spend a lot of time arguing on the internet with the liberals, we get into this habit of treating everybody on the other side. We learn to stand up for ourselves. But at the same time, when you argue with people who are on the same side, you can take a different tone, because you just have to remember this, that we need to keep the main goal in mind, which is smaller government and individual freedom and just better life for ourselves and our families. And we definitely all agree on that.
That's so true. And it's just a salient point, because we get accused by our political opponents on the left they're masters of projection, so they project all of their behaviors onto us, but we often get accused of being in lockstep. And I crack up, because I know how passionate some of these threads get on the CLSA, and I think it's great. I actually, even if I disagree with somebody on something, I appreciate the fact that we're all individuals, you know, and we think differently, even as we recognize that, yeah, we got to stay united on these core principles that unite all of us. So I really appreciate that. It's kind of like, you know, they always accuse us of being the ones who are anti-science. And Marina, just as an example, I think you were the one that posted the story today about pro-life millennials.
That's right. Because of the science and so many things, the science is now on our side, and it's the progressive who are denying the facts that are in front of us, like the fact that you can see on the ultrasound that this is, in fact, a baby, but they're trying to tell us different. Like, you see old numbers coming out of the global warming debacle, and they're still denying it, and yet somehow there is this trope that conservatives are anti-science. And by the way, I am really impressed how many people in CLFA, so many of our people are very highly educated. They have PhDs in all the various fields, so I'm just learning things that I never would come across otherwise, which is another benefit of this group. It's just very, very varied backgrounds.
Yes, lots of intellectual stimulation. I love that. I always learn something. Every day when I go in there, I learn something new, and I also appreciate that very much. Now, Marina, getting back to the fiction aspect of the group, I just want to make it clear on this show that we are not, although we are conservatives and libertarians, and some of us call ourselves conservatarians, it's not about writing books. It's not about message literature or however you would term that. It's about writing a good story in which the philosophies maybe come out through the characters and through the plot points. But first and foremost, the goal is to write an entertaining story. Do you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. And the greatest writers through time have always managed to reflect their worldview in their works in a way that is just working within the story instead of a lot of, especially, I don't want to say it's exclusive to the left, but you could see a lot of it there where they would just stop the story dead because they have to explain something to the reader and push their agenda across. And this is definitely something that our writers are trying not to do because characters come first and story comes first. And if you're a good writer, it's your worldview will come through in your work. There is no way around it.
Exactly. And this may be a good time to point out that if any of our CLFA members or any listeners would like to call in with their comments or questions for Marina, the call-in number is 347-945-7246. That's 347-945-7246. So, and Maria, speaking of writing, you know, I go in there. Now, today, for example, there was a great thread in there. I believe Daniela Bova started it, where she was asking about, you know, should I incorporate songs into my second book? And I really appreciated the responses that she got, and there were some pros and cons. I think mostly pros in that regard. And I just love how people are so willing to share information and their experiences and best practices to help each other. I guess what I'm trying to say is I love how everybody's very supportive. It's like we all support each other. It's not a competition per se. It's more like I think there's more of a spirit of my success is also this other person's success.
Yes, that's definitely the case. And, you know, I am, as I told you before, I am a reader first and foremost. In fact, I have been inspired to start writing a little bit just from hanging around all these fine people. But I am a reader, and the more the better. And this is not a matter of competition because there are so many readers out there who are desperate for books that are friendly to them, that reflect their values. I sometimes meet people and they say they haven't read anything since they read everything from Heinlein and Ayn Rand and they haven't found anything else to read. So it's just a great, joyful experience to be able to put those books out there and to know that they're out there and help these authors and help this whole pie to grow. You know, it's not a zero-sum game, and it's not a competition. The more the better. As a reader, as a creative person, that's why people are so willing to help and to share their experiences. And I think even Kia asked a question today about how to handle chapters, and she mm-hmm. got a whole bunch of answers as well. It's just a very, very friendly and supportive place.
Yeah, it's great, and I'm so thrilled that new technology has really leveled the playing field and made it possible for independent authors to go directly to their audience, and certainly the CLFA has been another great vehicle for that because you can get the support you need and the promotion that you need from other people, and of course, it's returned in kind, so it's sort of it's a give and take, which is fantastic. But I think even for readers as well, I mean, the whole independent publishing process has opened up a whole new world for them. Like you were saying, this whole underserved market that's out there that's desperate for these kinds of books. Because that's the kind of feedback I got when I published my book in 2008. Oh, my God, I finally have a heroine that reflects my values living in a contemporary world. Like, what a concept. You know, you can read books where characters who think like you are not routinely mocked and derided for their beliefs. So it really is a good thing.
That's right, and it's just very encouraging. And it's one of those things that snowballs. The more books are out there, the more authors are out there, the more readers they get, and the movement can just grow and grow because we really are between the conservatives and the libertarians and people who are not even particularly involved in politics, but they live that way with their understanding of love of America and individual responsibility. it's a huge market. It's a huge number of people, and not just in the U.S., by the way, also worldwide. We have a few members even from other countries in CLFA who found us, because it's not, it's kind of universal, this desire to read books that reflect your values. It's very universal.
Yes, indeed. And on a side note, I just remembered about 6 months ago, I came across on Twitter Tea Party Italia, which just cracked me up in a good way. I was like, oh my gosh, there's an Italian tea party. This is awesome. And I've been friends with somebody on Twitter for a long time from Australia, who's also a limited government. You know, he spearheads a limited government movement. And I think you're right. I think this is a basic hunger in human beings. They want to be left the hell alone. They want to be free to pursue their goals with as limited a government as possible. And I do think that that's a universal human desire, whether people necessarily realize it or not.
That's right. And we are here to support it. And that's why I'm so proud to be part of this movement, because we can support all the people, some of whom maybe they live in a place where they can't express their opinions, but they can always find us online and they can always find the books online. And it will make their lives a little better.
Yes, thanks again to new technology and the internet. And, you know, the thing with fiction, Marina, too, is that you can entertain and inform. Like, a good example of this is the dystopia genre, which has become increasingly popular over the last several years, which gives me hope that people are waking up. I mean, I'm kind of glad that it's popular. But, you know, Daniela's book, Tears of Paradox, for example, another author that I interviewed here who's not part of the CLFA yet, but her name is Tracy Law. And she wrote a YA book called Counteract, and it's a dystopia set in the future. Harriet Park, who wrote Agenda 21, and she has a sequel coming out in January that I'm really looking forward to reading. But I feel like in books such as these especially, but in any work of fiction, you can inform people in an entertaining way that keeps them engaged, and it may inspire them to become more involved in the political process.
That's right, especially when you have books that involve regular people. Like, I haven't read Daniela's book, but from the reviews I understand, it talks about the regular blue-collar family that just gets caught up in this dystopian society. And people start thinking, well, this sounds a whole lot like me, and let me see what I can do. So, yes, it can be very inspiring. And it can also just, I just think of it as a little bit of therapy, because we get bombarded with so much negativity towards our values just from the regular mainstream culture, if you will, that to know that there are people out there who not only think like us, they create art in a way that is friendly to us. I just find it very, very inspiring for myself, and I hope it works for other people as well.
Yes, and you know, I should also give a shout out to Liberty Island Magazine, because they've sort of been partnering hand in hand with various members of the CLFA, various talented members of the CLFA, and they're also at the forefront of this effort to sort of take back the culture, at least like take back our right to engage in the culture through works of fiction. And it's amazing, you know, even in the last couple of years, how this movement has grown overall. What do you think about that?
That's right, and that's what I keep telling people, who sometimes people get discouraged and they complain that there aren't enough of us. But I'm thinking, just think of where we were even 5 years ago, and think of where we are now, how much we have accomplished and how much we have grown. And it's even come to the point that it's okay once in a while for even a Hollywood actor to admit that maybe they are religious or maybe they voted Republican. It's something that probably would have ruined their career even 5 years ago. But now there is some support. Now there is something happening. that people can be more open about it. And again, all of that just contributes to the growth of the movement. It doesn't take that many people to make a difference. That's another thing I learned from, you know, Soviet history. The revolution starts usually with very few people, and then it snowballs because it encourages others. And that's
right.
That's in a way how I see us, because there's a lot of people out there, they're having all these dark thoughts that, you know, we may be coming to some kind of bloodshed in this country. And I'm saying, no, I think we can resolve it through ideas. We can resolve it through winning back the culture. It's when the culture fails, that's when the society fails. But our culture is strong, and it's still working.
Yes, I agree. And the fact that we now have new technology, in addition to the ability to self-publish, whether you use CreateSpace or Lulu.com or I mean, any number of the publishing tools out there, we also have Twitter and Facebook, obviously a very important part of this group's success, blogging, shows like Blog Talk Radio. We have so many more options out there to spread the message and to attract new readers and new listeners, you know, even more than we even had, like you said, 5-10 years ago.
That's right. And I always keep saying that everybody has a different talent, and we can't just say, oh, we can't win here, we can't win there. I think we should try everywhere. We shouldn't just think of being in politics, or we shouldn't even just limit ourselves to books. We have to really try for all different media, for all different ways of interacting with people, because the other side is everywhere, and they had a big head start on us. And we need to catch up, and I do believe that we will catch up, because look at how fast we're moving right now.
Yes, and they are relentless, the other side, and we have to model that tactic for ourselves. We need to be relentless, and like you said, stay positive, stay optimistic, and just keep at it. Because one thing, you know, one thing I'll give the left credit for, they fight like hell for what they want, and they will go to the mat, and they don't care. And we need
right,
to have that
right.
same kind of persistence.
That's right, and they never stop, because we have a tendency to say, oh, we won this election, now we can rest. No, we can't, because it doesn't stop. It's like in your personal life. If you have some degree of personal success, do you stop or do you keep working? You never stop. It's life. Life doesn't stop and wait and give you long periods of rest. You always have to keep going.
Right. Well, Saturday's vote, I think, if for anybody who didn't think the Republican Party was sort of like the first line in our battle for limited government, hopefully Saturday's results finally help them to see the light, because it's so true. I mean, we have to just we've got to fight it off on all fronts, and you have to keep paying attention. And in this case, putting out books that people want to read and keep promoting the group. And I'm so happy that I love the name of the group. I mean, you know, don't be ashamed to say I'm a conservative, or I'm a libertarian, or I'm a conservatarian, and I write books. I mean, I think we've got to stop cowering to the left and proudly proclaim who we are, because we're on the right.
That's right. That's right.
Go ahead, Marina. I'm sorry.
I was just trying to think of what else we need to cover. I just wanted to point out that it's not just writers that we have in there. We also have some musicians. We also have some budding filmmakers. We also have some fabulous cover designers and artists, just visual artists, which visual art is actually even less represented by conservatives than, let's say, writing. But we have really all kinds of creative people. And then we have all kinds of support people, too. We have editors. We have some independent publishers who are constantly looking for books to publish. And we have some beta readers who will just read your book for free and give you all kinds of input. So it's really, it's an alliance of really everybody, not just political alliance of conservatives and libertarians. It's also alliance between readers and writers and all the different creative kinds. So we are all working together on all fronts.
Yes, it is a wealth of creative talent. And here, let me give another testimonial. I mean, I ghostwrite and edit and help people with the self-publishing process. And I also work on websites. And Kia Heavey has been my go-to girl for all kinds of designs. I mean, she just created a banner for a website for my friend who's having a New Year's Eve gala. I've hired her for countless book projects that I've been on and certainly future ones that I'm going to be working on. And it's been such a benefit that way as well to know that you can work with somebody that you can trust, who's not only talented and can get the job done, but who also works efficiently and that you can contact and get a response from. And that's so important. And also, you know, your client is going to get a decent rate from these people. There's just so many benefits to this group. It's hard to describe. It just goes on and on and on. And anybody listening, if you haven't joined and you're on Facebook, please check out the Conservative Libertarian Facebook Alliance. And we're also kind of working with the CLFA hashtag on Twitter, right, Marina? People are still using that?
Yes. We're definitely trying to tack on that hashtag to any of the books or some of the political tweets, just to get people a little more aware that we exist. And I also wanted to mention that we have a page, which is different from the group, because a page is basically we're just posting book links and some of the links to our members' blogs. This is for people who maybe want to just check out what we are about and what kind of members we have if they don't want to start interacting right away and join the group. They can just check it out. They can just like the page, and a lot of the output is on the page. But if they want to actually get to know us as people and interact, then the group is a better choice.
Fantastic.
Which, by the way, I also wanted to mention it's a closed group, which means that everybody comes into this group pre-screened. People can add their friends, but if you're not friends with anybody in the group, then you can request membership, and we will kind of check what you're about a little bit, check your Facebook wall, just to make sure we don't, because we now on a regular basis, not reached over 600 members, we on a regular basis get some self-proclaimed Marxists who for some reason want to sneak in and probably cause trouble. So we are very vigilant that way, so don't worry about it. It is a closed group, and whatever you say in the group is pretty much as safe as anything gets on the internet.
Yes. Yes, we don't feed the trolls, which I appreciate that, Marina.
That's right. That's right.
Well, good.
Even anybody who comes in trying to make trouble, they don't last long in the group. But I have to say, we maybe had two or three people in this whole year that were troublesome, which is a very, very good ratio, because I've seen other groups and I've seen what can go on in there. So I think we're in very, very good shape.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say, I don't recall too many instances of problems. Wow, we only had about two or three. That's amazing when you think about it, really. And, you know, as we said earlier, topics can sometimes get heated because we also share what's going on in the news on a daily basis, different news stories, and people have different opinions about things. And for the most part, we all manage to keep it respectful, even when there are areas of disagreement, and I just really appreciate that.
That's right, and I know for those who have been members for a while, you know that I usually let these discussions go for quite a while, as long as they stay on a respectful level, because I believe that we need, if we have disagreements, we need to be able to work them out, because when we go out there into the world and we argue with the other side, so to speak, or even when we talk to people who are not political, we need to be able to have to present the best argument that we can. So if we can work out the deficiencies, if you will, in our arguments between ourselves, we'll be in better shape. So that's kind of another benefit to the group.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Marina, we're at the bottom of the hour, so let's go ahead and just take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about what some of your favorite reads are. And it's, you know, from the CLFA or even from your Goodreads groups, any book recommendations you might have for listeners who are looking for the perfect gift for the readers in their life, and perhaps maybe want to try to convert some readers in their life into sort of limited government type of thinking. So sit tight, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back after these short messages.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Thanks for listening to the RightStream Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need two steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
Hi, I'm Diane.
And this is Denise.
And we want to invite you to listen to the History Goes Bump podcast.
Ghost tours for the theater of the mind.
The History Goes Bump podcast, a show featuring a look at historic locations, people, and events with a twist. This history podcast is haunted. So grab your slippers, hot chocolate, flashlight, and maybe even that baseball bat, and join us.
You can find the show at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and other various podcast catchers.
Check out the website at historygoesbump.com.
Keep it spooky.
Honor Flight provides, at no cost to the veteran, the opportunity to see the memorial that the American people have built on our National Mall. And I think that there's probably no better organization out there today that can provide something to somebody for nothing.
If anyone wants to see the importance of Honor Flight, look into the veterans' eyes and how they tear up when they are brought here.
When they walk into that memorial and they see that their friends will never be forgotten, that the sacrifice that they paid will always be cherished, always revered, always honored by this nation. They're taken back by that.
The best program I've ever been associated with. You know, we're all in the same fraternity. If it hadn't been for these guys, I don't know where we'd be today or what language we'd speak.
I say about the terrorists, Al-Qaeda, if it weren't for these guys, we wouldn't have to worry about terrorists today. We'd already be occupied. We'd already be a different country. So we owe them a lot.
We're racing against a clock. In another 5 to 7 years, it'll be a moot point. They will be gone. We're working as fast as we can, but we need so much support from so many people to make these dreams a reality. This is probably the last chapter in their lives. And for some, it's literally the last paragraph of their lives. What a way to end their stories.
This has been one of the really great days of my life.
I'm sure glad I was able to live long enough to see it.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe, with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Right Stream Tuesday. This is your host, Daria Ann, and I am here with my guest, the co-founder of the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance, Marina Fontaine. Marina, welcome back.
Hi.
Hey, before we go further, I just wanted to mention I played the promo for History Goes Bump, which is hosted by CLFA member Diane Student and her spouse, Denise Moormeyer. Jeez, I almost tripped over her name. And I just wanted to point out, because you were talking about all the creative talent, Diane was an exceptional radio host of a show called Freedom's Wings for many years here on Blog Talk Radio. And she decided to kind of get out of that, too, and take more of a cultural approach. And I love what they do at HistoryGoesBump.com, because not only do you learn about real historical figures and places, but it has that paranormal twist that's very exciting and engaging. And they investigate all these weird things that have happened in different, mostly in the United States, but they also go outside of the country, too. So they do a very nice job with that, and I just wanted to give them a shout-out. So let's move on. So, Marina, before we went to the break, I was asking you about what some of your favorite books have been. So you want to share any titles with us and offer some suggestions for holiday gift-giving?
Let's see. From the so-called established authors, my favorites would be Dean Koontz, Andrew Klavan, obviously Terry Goodkind if you're into fantasy, Brandon Sanderson, everybody knows him, but he also has, if you have teenagers, he has now a new series called The Reckoners. The first book in the series was Steelheart, and it's just a very well-written fantasy book, kind of dystopia-ish fantasy. As far as some of our members, obviously, as you all know, I'm crazy about Sarah Hoyt's books. I can't say enough about her books, Dark Ship Thief, Dark Ship Renegades, A Few Good Men is just an awesome book. Larry Correa is also needs no introduction, the Monster Hunter series. And let's see, who did I read right now? I'm reading James Young. I haven't finished yet. An Unproven Concept is a very good book, and I was a little hesitant because I'm not that much into the space-type sci-fi, but it's just really, really good. He does his characters very well. Declan Finn just completed his Pious Man trilogy. It is entirely awesome. It's good for Catholics. It's good for non-Catholics. It's very educational, and it has great, great action. And I'm so glad to have been able to. I better read all three books, and they've gotten better on revision. They're really, really good. Who else? I'm just looking around and thinking. If you're into thrillers, Stephen England has a very good Shadow Warriors series. I read Pandora's Grave. I'm looking forward to reading more. That's about it. Why don't you share some of yours? Because I know you read some of the different ones.
That's great. That's a lot. And I want to say I concur on Declan. And I haven't read Sarah's books yet, but I plan to. This is a good problem to have. We have so many good authors in the group that it's just hard to get to everybody's books. So I'm trying. I'm barely keeping up, and I'm not doing it very well. I mean, I owe a couple more people reviews, but this is a great problem to have, so I'm not complaining. But I definitely want to just give a nod to Declan, because the first one I read, The Pious Man, A Pious Man, the first, I believe it's the first one in his series.
Yes.
Was just excellent. I mean, anybody that can write that kind of action and create all these different characters and just kind of keep you engaged, the book went back and forth between all these different scenarios and characters, and I loved it. And that's not usually my type of read either, that whole spy thriller genre, but I loved it. So, yes, I want to, you know, I just want to give props to Declan for that and congratulate him on the completion of his trilogy. Fantastic news. Last 2 weeks ago, Ms. Always Right and I did a show, The Best Books of 2014. And, you know, even with 2 hours, the time goes by so fast. So I want to make sure that I point out that Roy M. Griffiths, G-R-I-F-F-I-S, is one of the most talented people in that group. And I loved his book, By the Hands of Men, The Old World. I believe it's the first book in that particular series. Although he also has, Marina, doesn't he have something coming out with Liberty Island, the first in the Lonesome George series?
Yes, the Lonesome George, yes.
Yes, so that will be coming out.
Right. I thought it was already out, and if not, it's coming out very soon.
Yeah, so Roy is just, man, he's another one of those writers that just has, you get so caught up in the book because his writing is just so eloquent and excellent. And in terms of the book By the Hands of Men, which takes place during World War One, he really captures the essence of that time period and the sort of the mores and the courtship. Just an excellent book. Loved it. So if you know somebody particularly who loves historical fiction, check out Roy M. Griffiths. He has a page on Amazon. You can certainly find him at Liberty Island. Is it LibertyIslandMedia.com or LibertyIslandMagazine.com? Oh my God, I'm horrible.
It's LibertyIslandMedia.com. If you type LibertyIslandMag.com, it also redirects you there. So either way, you can get there.
Fantastic, because I would recommend anybody who's listening that wants to support conservative libertarian authors can also go there and find so many of those contributors belong to the CLFA anyway, and you can just certainly find an amazing array of books. But yeah, there's just so much talent in this group. The Golden Pinnacle, I'm still reading, by Robert Gore, another excellent work of historical fiction. The thing I liked about that book is that he really took a part of history that's not really written about very often, and it's the economic boom that occurred in this country, like between the end of the Civil War and the unfortunate year of 1913, which is when things kind of went downhill with the establishment of the IRS and the Fed and all of those freedom-killing institutions. But up until the economy was booming, and he makes the point, isn't it amazing that after a war that nearly tore this country apart, we experienced such a period of financial prosperity? But Robert also puts all of that into fictional characters and an entertaining story. So that's another excellent one. Of course, I love Tears of Paradox by Daniela Bova. Just thought it was excellent. I thought the characters were very relatable, and anybody who grew up, you know, having Sunday family dinners and going to church, I know the left wants to believe that these people don't exist, but they are the backbone of this country. So, and even if you're not Catholic, you'll appreciate her book. I mean, if you are, you'll certainly relate to it on an even deeper level. But if you're just somebody that appreciates the value of hard work and the freedom to live your life on your own terms, and that's a great book to read. I will warn you, it's dark. I mean, it definitely, these characters experience the worst. I mean, things that people in this country used to think could never happen here. But, you know, I'm going to be replaying the best books of 2014 next week, and certainly it's available in the archives for anybody who wants to listen. And I write a lot about some of the CLFA authors and book reviews at Amazon.com, where you can find me there, Daria DiGiovanni. Also at my website, DariaDiGiovanni.com. And also American Journal, the-American-Journal.com, which is basically it's basically a one-man show with Declan. I got to give him credit, man. He's a prolific writer on every level. He's posting breaking news. Yeah, so he's pretty amazing.
He's an example of a person who never stops.
Yeah, exactly. He's so inspiring. And I'm like, on those days when I think, oh, I can't do another thing, I go, oh, crap, Declan just posted another article. I can do it, too. You know, like. So, yeah, it's wonderful. And, that's one of the things I love about hosting this show is I interview authors and just, you know, I get to read so many books, or at least find out about so many different books and just add them to my reading list. So I just want to, you know, encourage everyone to, if you're listening, to go on Facebook and check out the CLFA group. Like, as Marina said, if you want to interact with people, the group is the way to go. If you just want to be kept informed of, you know, the latest releases and what's going on with different authors and other members of the group, it's the Conservative Fiction Facebook Alliance page on Facebook?
It's Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance, but it's a page. It's
okay,
two,
right.
It's two things.
Right, right. Well, I like to
one
have
is a group and one is a page. So for the page, you don't have to do anything. You just click like and follow, and you will just get updates like you would with any fan page.
Fantastic. And now, Marina, speaking of writing, I know that you have something posted on Liberty Island that's very timely.
Oh, goodness.
This
is actually something I wrote last year when I was feeling a little bit down. And then I started thinking about Hanukkah because I am Jewish and I'm kind of rediscovering. Obviously, growing up in the Soviet Union, there was not a whole lot of faith. So I'm rediscovering all these stories that people take for granted, and I'm trying to relate them to real life. So, yeah, I just wrote something last year. And
So do you care to share that with our readers on the air? You don't have to, with our listeners, rather.
Okay, here goes. Okay, I call it the Hanukkah poem for all, because I think it's relatable to pretty much anybody. So here goes. Come gather, my friends, on this holiday night. Consider the story of Hanukkah lights. Ages ago, the Hebrews took fight to an arrogant ruler who denied them their rights. The warriors battled and won their glory. But that wasn't all, just the start of our story. That temple, alas, had been damaged and looted, with idols inside, its spirit polluted. The Jews went to work, they cleaned and they polished, swept up the debris of the idols demolished. But as they looked around, the Jews realized they still were not done, for a temple needs light. While oil for lamps wasn't hard to procure, the priest had insisted it had to be pure. They searched for a while, and soon with delight, have found the oil enough for one night. The rest of the story you know by now. The priests lit the lamp with the oil they found. And then, in defiance of doubt and hate, a day's worth of oil burned brightly for eight. The story is old, but the spirit remains. I hope it helps you in darkest of days. When the wolf's at the door and your dreams fall apart, remember this lesson and take it to heart. Just one simple thought from this holiday night. When you stand on conviction, you will always find light. I'm dedicating this to everybody fighting the good fight. You know who you are, and happy holidays.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I have goosebumps. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic. Now, everybody can find that at libertyislandmedia.com, correct?
That's right. I'm just so you know, my avatar is a reading guinea pig because I love reading and I like guinea pigs. So I have guinea pigs, actually.
So cute.
So
I love your
that's
avatar.
That's how you can recognize me.
Marina, where can we find you on Twitter? And if anybody wants to connect with you on Goodreads, you know, share all that good information, too.
Okay. On Twitter, I am MashaK99. It's MashaK99. On Goodreads, I am Masha K with a period after the K, because I think there is another Masha K. And I do have a separate group on Goodreads called Small Government Book Fan Club. It's more book-oriented than politics-oriented, and it's more readers than writers, but everybody obviously is welcome to check it out. It's different people because some people are still hesitant for whatever reason to be on Facebook, so it's a good reason to find some other fellow fans. And obviously, I live and breathe Facebook and CLFA. I always say it's a good thing I can't do this at work because I would get fired. I am, believe it or not, I am an accountant by trade, so accountant by day, and I don't know what it is I'm doing by night.
Nothing wrong with that. Maria, before I let you go, too, the group has grown pretty well over the last year, hasn't it? So we're over, what's the membership count at this point? It's over 650?
Yeah, right now it's like 653, 654, something like that. Obviously people come and go, but it has been pretty steady growth. And for a group that really is a niche group, it's not like a group for football fans or rock stars or anything, I am pretty amazed at how quickly we have grown. And I obviously have to give thanks to everybody who had spread the word and invited their friends. And people have been very good promoters for this group.
Yeah, and well, congratulations.
We appreciate all the support.
Well, congratulations to you and Kia, and thank you so much for starting the CLFA and for all that you do to promote all of the talent that's in there and just for being a warrior, a culture warrior.
Thank you. And, Derry, thank you for your support and all the promotion on Twitter. Every time I turn on my email, Derry, I mentioned you on Twitter. And I did get a lot of followers from that, I can tell, because every time you tweet one of the shows, I get more followers on Twitter. So
fabulous.
Every little bit helps.
Absolutely. And I love Twitter, I have to say. I love it even more than Facebook, but I know, understand the importance of both, because some people only like Facebook, some only like Twitter, some are doing both, so you've got to sort of utilize all these platforms. But I really do love Twitter, so I'm glad to hear that. Really happy to hear that. So, well, I want, Marina, you know, I want to wish you a happy Hanukkah, a very happy New Year, a very blessed, healthy, prosperous year for you and your family. Thank you for joining me today. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, bye-bye. Everyone, please check out the Conservative Libertarian Facebook Alliance on Facebook and the Conservative Libertarian Facebook page. Next week, as I said, I will be running a rerun of the best books of 2014. And then the following week, my guest will be the psychic medium Jennifer Hicks, who is a contributor to a very interesting book, and we'll be talking about that. As for what's coming up next on the network this week, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. So tune in for that. And I hope you have a great rest of the day. Thank you for all of your support. And please, you know, share the archive on your networks so that we can get more people listening. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a fabulous afternoon, and we will see you back on the Right Stream Radio Network this Thursday.